Sister. My aim this morning in the 9:30 service was to begin preaching at exactly 10 minutes past 10, so that when they did a date and time stamp on the recording, it would be 10:10, 10:10, 10:10. My aim this evening is not to be preaching at 10 past 10 the second time around, so that you don't get a date stamp of 10:10, 10:10, 10:10 when I finish. Maybe it's just me who likes those odd little number things. But this evening we're picking up another one in this series that we've been looking at, a series entitled Why We Do What We Do. And this evening, the subject that we're looking at, indeed the subject we've looked at all the services today, is the subject of prayer ministry and asking why we do prayer ministry. And as I was preparing this and thinking about prayer ministry, I became aware of the fact that for some of us, we have been doing what we do in this area of prayer ministry for quite a long time. And when you've done something for quite a long time, it's very easy for you to sort of assume that everybody else knows exactly what's happening and what exactly happens when people come up the front for prayer and why we do certain things. And as I reflected on it, I thought, well, people come to St. Barnabas from a wide variety of backgrounds. People come from a wide variety of church backgrounds. People come from non-church backgrounds. And particularly in our evening service here at 7 o'clock, I'm aware that we often have people visiting us from other churches who may not have the same sort of church background that we've got. And so when we use a phrase like prayer ministry, there's a strong possibility that for some people it will mean absolutely nothing at all, because you may not have a church background and you may think, well, what is prayer ministry? And for people who come from other churches, you may be used to prayer ministry being done in your own church, and it may be something that is slightly different from the way we do things here. And so we're not just going to be asking the question why we do what we do. We're actually going to be asking three questions and mingling them together so that they will be seamlessly mingled. You won't see where one begins and ends and another begins and ends. We're going to be asking the question, well, what do we do? And then we'll ask the question, why do we do what we do? And then we'll ask the question, why do we do what we do the way we do it? Because there are certain things that we do a certain way, and you may often have thought, I wonder why they do it that way. So we're actually going to open up a little bit of what we do, why we do it, and why we do it the way we do it as we look at this subject together this evening. So let's think for a moment, very simply, about what happens here in our main services on a Sunday, our 9:30, 11:30, and 7 o'clock services. What happens? A typical service looks something like this. We will begin with a time of sung worship, as we did this evening. Once a month, we will incorporate and integrate communion into the service in some way so that we'll have communion. There will then usually be a community slot, like we just had, where we interview someone and find out what God's been doing in people's lives and what God is doing. And then there'll be a preach. Somebody will preach, like I'm doing now. I was interested that we didn't include in our series on why we do what we do one on the subject of, well, why do we preach? That might have been a good one to include, actually. Why do we preach? So because that wasn't included in the series, I'll touch on it this evening, and we'll get it in there somehow. And then we have, after the preach, a time of ministry, prayer ministry, and of course, running seamlessly through it all, before, during, and after, that which holds it all together is, of course, coffee. We looked at that in the first one in the series, hospitality, why we do that. If you want to know why we serve coffee all the way through, listen to Henry's tape or CD from the very first sermon in the series on hospitality. And sometimes we might be funky and trendy and vary the order a little bit. Sometimes we might do a little bit of sung worship later in the service just to show how really radical we are. But most of the time, it looks a little bit like that. If you've been coming for any length of time on a Sunday, you will recognize that's the fairly standard pattern that we follow. And we've looked in previous sermons at why we do things like sung worship, why we do communion, why we do hospitality, why we do youth and kids work. So let's just think for a moment about that one, the fourth one on the list. Why do we preach? And more particularly, why do we preach from the Bible? Why is it so important? Now, there are just so many different ways in which I could answer that question, and so many different levels at which I could answer that question, but I want to keep it fairly simple. And I think it's something like this, that when God calls us to himself, God does not call us to be religious, but he does call us to be in relationship with himself. At the heart of the Christian faith, at the heart of being a Christian, is a relationship between us and God. That's what it's all about. And if you talk to anybody who does any kind of work, such as relationship counseling or gives relationship advice, you will find out very quickly that when you ask what is the most common cause of relationships breaking down, the answer will be that one of the most common causes of relationships breaking down is a breakdown in communication. You all knew what the answer was. And you end up singing those old songs, "Ain't It Funny How We Don't Talk Anymore," when the relationship breaks down and you're not communicating. Because key to a relationship is communication. You've got to keep talking to one another. If you stop talking to one another, the relationship begins to wither and ultimately dies. And so when we come together as the people of God, we sing our worship, we are singing to God, we pray to God, we speak to him, but we want the communication to be two ways. And because we believe that this book is God's word to us, then we preach from the Bible very simply because we want to keep the channels of communication open between us and God. We want God to speak to us because it's as God speaks to us that the relationship grows and deepens and becomes stronger. And so very simply, we preach because we want to maintain open communication with God. We want him to speak to us just as much as we speak to him. But one of the things that we discover about God is that when God speaks, there is always a purpose. I have met some people who have the ability to talk for a long time without purpose. You may know some people like that as well. But God is not like that. Whenever God speaks, there is always a purpose behind what he says. Let's look at a couple of passages from the Bible that make that very clear to us, and we'll use these as our scripture readings this evening. The first is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, where through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks to his people, and he says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And you see that illustration that is used there in Isaiah. Do you remember your geography lessons at school where it was explained to you that what happens is something like this. It rains, water comes down from the clouds and rains and falls on the earth. And it waters the earth and it does what it's been sent to do. It causes the ground to flourish so that things grow. But then the water runs off into the streams and the rivers and from there it evaporates and it goes back up and forms clouds again. And then it falls again on the earth. There are probably some technical scientific terms to describe all of that, but in layman's terms, that's my understanding of what happens. It comes down, it does its job, it goes back again, and it comes down again. And that's the picture that God is using. He says, my word is like that. It's like the rain that comes and soaks into the earth. It always achieves what I sent it to do. The rain that comes and soaks on the earth is so that it will bring forth fruit and vegetation. And God's word is always sent with a purpose to do something in our lives. God doesn't just talk without purpose. When God speaks to us, when he gave us this book, there was a purpose for which he gave us this book. And if we want to know what that purpose is, then we turn to the New Testament And our second passage that we read is actually from one of Paul's letters, when Paul wrote to a young man called Timothy. I call him a young man because that's what Paul called him. And when he said, let no one despise you because you're young. But in all reality, Paul was writing to Timothy when Timothy was probably about 40 years old. So in biblical terms, 40 is still young. Some of you are feeling really encouraged at this moment in time. So Paul writes to the young man, Timothy, and he says to Timothy about his upbringing and his childhood, and he reminds him, he says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the passage from Isaiah tells us that God's Word is both powerful and purposeful. It comes with a purpose, and it comes with the power to achieve that purpose. And the letter to Timothy tells us what that purpose is. And it's a twofold purpose. When God speaks to us, primarily when he speaks through his word, it has a twofold purpose. And the first is this, so that we can be made wise for salvation. What does that mean? It means simply this, I believe, so that we can know how we can come into a relationship with God. How we can come to know God as our Father. How we can know our sins forgiven. How we can know that we are saved. How we can become followers of Jesus. That is primarily the purpose for which this book is given. So that people like you and people like me can have the inside knowledge on how to get to know God. Because ultimately, that's where we started. God wants relationship. He wants a relationship with each one of us. And so he's given us his word, which makes us wise for salvation. It shows us how we can have that kind of a relationship with him. But the other thing that it does, the second thing is this, it says, it is so that the people of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That having called us into a relationship with himself, God speaks to us through his word so that we can have all the resources that we need to live the way that God wants us to live and to do the work that God calls us to do. So that through this book, we will always know how we ought to live. We'll always know how to do the work that God has called us to do. So we will be equipped for every good work. So those are the things that the Bible itself tells us. That's the purpose for which God speaks. So we can be saved. So we can come into relationship with himself. And so we can know how to live and how to do the work that he's called us to do. And it's because God's word always has a purpose to it that here at St. Bede's we put such an emphasis in our preaching on application. It's not just about theoretical stuff. It's about applying it to our lives. During the summer, we had various people preaching at our services, and in the morning services, not at the evening service, but the morning service, George Grimble preached. Were any of you there at the morning service when George Grimble preached? One or two of you were there, so I can't really ask you to sort of loudly sort of do what I asked the 9:30 and 11:30 congregations to do, which was to remind us all of George's unique pirate method of biblical interpretation, which he described as the OYAR method of biblical interpretation. And you're all wondering, what on earth is that? Well, it's there on the screen. OYAR stands for, oh, observe, have a look at the passage, see what's going on in the passage. Number two, interpret it, ask, what does it mean? But number three, ask, apply. Is there anything I need to do about what I've just read? And number four, respond, do it. Once you know what the application is, there then has to be a response. Do it. When I've lectured in the past to people who've been preparing to be preachers, I've sometimes simplified it and say you need to ask three questions. What, so what, now what? That's what preaching is all about. What does it say? So what does it mean? Now what are we going to do? And that's the purpose that we have. Application in our preaching, but the respond, that's one of the reasons why we follow our preaching with an opportunity for prayer ministry. Because sometimes when you've listened to a sermon and you've heard someone preaching on something, sometimes some people we know need to do something in order to say to themselves, to say to other people, but primarily to say to God, I'm going to do something about what I've heard. I'm responding to it. And as a way of showing that I'm responding to it and I'm going to do something about it, I'm prepared to take the simple action of coming to the front of church and getting someone to stand with me and pray with me about what I'm going to do. It's simply for that reason that it's a way of saying, I'm going to do something about it. It's an opportunity to seal it before you leave the building and say, I'm going to do something. Now, let's stay with this just for a little time longer. In one sense, every time we preach, I say it for myself, I'm sure it would be true of every person who preaches in this church. Every time I preach, every time any one of us preaches, our hope, our prayer, our belief, and our expectation is that God will speak to everyone. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother getting out of bed to do it. You know, we're not so fond of the sound of our own voices. Trust us, we're not. We actually believe that God is going to speak. And he'll speak to everyone. And so sometimes, at the end of a service, there'll be a response that involves and includes everyone. But we also have another belief and another expectation and another prayer. And it's this, that there will be some people in every service to whom God speaks in a very specific, direct, and personal way. That is just something that is over and above that which God says to everyone. And we believe that, and we pray for it, and we expect it whenever we preach that there will be specific things that God says to people. And that could happen this evening. How do you know when it's happening? Well, let me just tell you three different ways in which people have described it. These are things that people have actually said in the past, of ways in which they knew that God was speaking to them. The first one is actually taken from the Bible, because there's an occasion in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24, where Jesus talks to two people as they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and at the end of it, they say, our hearts were burning inside us while he spoke to us. A very famous Christian by the name of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, when he was describing the occasion of his own conversion, told how he was in a church where somebody was reading a sermon, or actually reading from a book. It wasn't even a sermon. They were reading from a book. But as they read it, he says these words in his journal, I felt my heart strangely warmed. And sometimes there's just that sense that you can't really put into any words other than an inner awareness, a warmth, a sense of God warming your heart as you listen to his word. A sense from God of him saying, this is for you. Someone else put it like this, that their experience was that it's sometimes as if when they're reading the Bible, when they have the Bible open in front of them in church, or when they're reading it, or when words appear on the screen, that it's as if God takes a highlighter pen and just starts to highlight some words. And some words stand out from the screen above others. Now, I need to be honest and tell you, sometimes when that happens on the screen, that's just me being clever with PowerPoint. And some words seem to stand out more than others. That's not always God. But sometimes you may find that something happens that isn't just a little PowerPoint technique to make some words stand out. There's something about it that you're looking at it, or you're looking at the pages of your Bible, and there's just some words that suddenly appear to be in neon lights, as if God is saying, this is my word to you. And someone else put it like this. After they'd sat through one sermon where somebody was preaching about a particular subject, they went up to the person who'd been preaching at the end of the service and they asked them this question, how did you get access to my private emails? Because sometimes God does things and said things that are just so specific that it's as if someone has got access to your email and is telling you the things that are in there, the things that you haven't told anyone else. And someone preaches and mentions things and says things, and you just know, that's for me. And so, for people for whom that sort of thing happens when we preach, because we believe for it and we pray for it and we expect it whenever we preach, that's one of the reasons why we have prayer ministry, so that there's an opportunity for people to do something in response to what God has said. So, is it possible that even in what I've said so far, that God might have spoken to someone in that kind of a way? Well, it's possible, and I prayed that it would happen. When I was preparing the sermon, I came back to the material three or four times, and even as I visited it again between the services this afternoon, just looking at it again for this evening, I prayed exactly the same thing. I prayed it about every service, that when I was using that passage from 2 Timothy about being made wise for salvation and talking about the fact that God wants us to have a relationship with Himself, that He wants us to know that our sins can be forgiven, that He wants us to know that we can know Him as Father, that He wants us to be followers of Jesus. I prayed that in every service today, there would be at least one person who would say, that was for me. God was speaking to me because I want to have a relationship with God. I want to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been thinking about it for some time. Maybe you've got Christian friends. Maybe they've been talking to you about it. Maybe you've been coming to church for a few weeks, but you've never personally made that decision that says, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I prayed that at every service today, there would be at least one person who, when I talked about that then or when I talk about it now, would sense in their heart God saying, today, I'm calling you into relationship with me. So I prayed that that would happen at this service this evening. So, who is it? Is there one person? I prayed there would be. I'm confident enough to believe that God hears and answers my prayers. So is there one person who this evening is thinking, at this moment, I know that I need a relationship with God as my Father. I know that this is God speaking to me. And if that is you, I'm going to ask you just to do a simple thing. I'm just going to ask you to stand up just for 5 seconds, just long enough for me to see you, which would be the boldest and bravest thing that anyone does in this building today. Someone said to me this morning, that was very brave of you to call for people to do that. And I think, no, it's not. It's not brave of me to ask you to do it, but it would be brave of you to do it. So if you sense that God is calling you into relationship with Himself, you've never, ever before said, God, I want to know you as my Father. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And this evening you sense God is calling you to do that. Why don't you just stand just for 5 seconds so I can see you. And then I'll get you to sit down and we'll move on to something else. But I want to give a moment. If God is speaking to you, as I prayed He would, now's the moment. Be bold. Be brave. Can't bring yourself to stand, an arm raised firmly in the air to get my attention is just as acceptable. Thank you. One person. Anyone else? There were three this morning. It's not a competition. You don't have to beat three. I just wanted to encourage you with the fact that there were three people this morning who made an indication that they wanted to become followers of Jesus. Anyone else? I don't want to move on. Don't move on because I felt as I was praying before the service that God put the name Peter into my mind. Someone waving at the back there? Someone else? Thank you. Anyone called Peter feeling very uncomfortable at the moment? It's okay. I know you've made that commitment. You have, haven't you? Yeah, okay. Just checking. Anyone else? Just God put the name Peter. Whether that was someone called Peter who would be here, or I don't know what it meant. Maybe I got it wrong. I'm open to that. It's happened at least once before. Okay, those of you who did that, I raised your hand and indicated in a moment, a few moments' time, I'm going to give opportunity for folks to come to the front, and I'd really encourage you when you do, just come and say to the person who prays with you, the reason I'm here is because I was one of those who said that I wanted to respond to Jesus. I wanted to know Jesus as my Savior and God as my Father. So if you, when you come forward, not if you, when you come forward later for prayer, then just make yourself known in that way. But what else? Is there any other reason why we do this kind of thing? Well, if you've been around at our services for any length of time, you'll know that usually, as we move into a time of prayer ministry at the end of a service, we usually say something like this. Members of our prayer ministry team were praying before the service and asking God to give them words. It's a little bit of the jargon that we use. What do we mean by words? Well, we mean simply asking God to give them some very specific pieces of information about things that God wanted to bring to our attention, things that he wanted to do. And so we ask before the service, people pray and ask God for some specific pieces of information of what God wants to do. So this should be a really good moment to find out what the ministry team felt God was saying to them as they prayed before this evening, the service this evening. Marianne, come up, please.
I think we're on. Yes, we're on.
Yeah, good. We had the word full circle, and we believe someone's gone full circle. We had for physical conditions as well, and we actually twice had the word ear. One was fluid on a right ear, and the other one was just the word ear. Someone with a clicky left knee, someone with a problem in the hip, and someone with a problem with the pancreas. Then we had the word clutching at straws. And we also had a Bible passage, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who laughs has been of God and knows God. We thought that was a call for us as a church to love people from the outside who come in. And then we had this, someone had this famous picture of Michelangelo where God stretches out a finger and a human finger, and it's just about touching, but not completely. And we just felt God wants to connect, and through that wants actually to heal relationships. And we had the word rejoice with let it go, whatever that it is. It's time to dance now. And then just at the worship in a row we are sitting, a lady came in with those very funky wellies. And I was immediately prompted that God said to me, we need to be ready and prepared for the rain to come. And then hey presto, actually the last worship we had was about that. So we need to be prepared as a church for that.
Okay, thanks. Just leave the book there if you would. So that is the sort of thing that we sense God is saying this evening. A number of things there. And that's fairly typical. I don't need this one, I've got this one. That's fairly typical of the kind of things that we expect God to say. Sometimes it will be about a physical condition which needs healing. So we've got things like fluid on the right ear, a clicky left knee, problem in the hip, problem in the pancreas. Sometimes it's about a circumstance or a situation that someone is in, that word about someone who feels they've come full circle. Sometimes it's a passage from the Bible which is relevant for someone specific, and we had that passage from 1 John 4 there. Sometimes it's a name, in the same way that I felt God gave me the name Peter earlier. It may be a name that is linked to one of these conditions, or just a name. It may be an image or a picture, an impression. And we believe that that's God speaking, because he wants to highlight things, saying to people, I know about you. I care about you. I want to do something about that situation, that circumstance that you're in, that sickness that you have. I want to do something. And so God speaks to us, and we allow times of prayer ministry so we can respond. But it's not just the ministry team that God speaks. It's not just in the side chapel when people pray that God speaks. God can speak to any one of us at any time. So I wonder, what's God saying? Why don't you do a roving mic? Because I'm sure that there will be other people. Just take 10 seconds and say, God, is there anything you want to say, any piece of information that you want to give that will just unlock a situation for someone in prayer ministry this evening? So if God gives you something, just raise a hand and Elle will come with a mic.
I was drawn to labels. I saw a label on somebody's T-shirt, an actual label, and it was emblazoned across the T-shirt. And the second label I saw was a slightly smaller label on a shirt. And the third label I saw was one, a badge that you could take off. And I think actually God wants to remove the label that somebody's been given.
Okay, someone who feels that they've been labeled maybe, and God wants to remove that label. All right.
I just feel like someone's damaged their left hand, and God wants to heal that tonight.
Okay, someone who damaged the left hand.
That's my left hand.
Okay. Any other words that God's giving you even now in the moment as we're speaking?
So with the labels thing, just like I think someone here or a few people have agreed some lies about themselves, that they've spoken but negative things over themselves and just agreed with some things that aren't truth, and they need to get some God truth on it.
Okay. Okay, one more, yeah, great.
Someone's in a really confusing situation, and God wants to just shine his light in that place.
God, what was the first part of that? Can you just repeat the first part?
Confusing situation.
A confusing situation, and God wants to shine his light. Okay, a number of words there. So we've had all the ones that were brought by Marianne, those that were brought now. Just at the moment, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front at this moment. There'll be opportunity in a few moments' time for you to do that. But if you just sense that one of those words was specifically for you, you can just raise a hand and indicate that, just so that we get some sense of, you know, were we getting that totally wrong? Or, yeah, just keep your hand up if you would. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Oh, good half dozen folks there. That tells us more, 8, 9. Going to need at least 9 people on ministry team at the end of the service, so be prepared, folks. If you are in any way authorized to minister here at St. Bees, you are on ministry team this evening as we pray with those folks and others. And so that's the way we often do it. We listen to God. We say, God, what are the things that you're wanting to highlight? What are the things that you're wanting to say? And then what we usually do is we encourage people to respond by coming to the front. And we say things like, a member of our prayer ministry team will be available to pray with you, and you'll recognize who they are because they'll have a little sticker on that says authorized to minister. And then I began to think about it, about the way we do things here, and ask the question, well, why do we do things the way we do things? I was reflecting on the fact that I used to be in ministry in another church, which also did prayer ministry. And in that church, it was Christ Church in Woking. And in Christ Church Woking, the prayer ministry happened after the closing prayer, with no sung worship going on whilst prayer ministry was happening. It happened in the side chapel. It happened with 2 people praying for each person who came forward. And it happened with the person sitting down as they were prayed for. And I thought, actually, here at St. Bees, we do it completely differently. It's not after the closing prayer. It usually starts before the closing prayer. It's usually with the worship band playing and singing. It happens at the front, not in the side chapel. It's with 1 person rather than 2 people praying. And it at least starts with the person standing up. It doesn't always end up that way, but it at least starts with the person standing up. And you think, well, why do we do it the way we do it, as opposed to other churches do it the way they do it? I thought about that, and I came to really what I think is a very staggering conclusion. And the reason we do it the way we do it is because that's the way we do it. It's as simple as that. It's not that we think it's absolutely essential that it must be done this way on some of these things. It's not that this particular bit of carpet is in any way holier than that bit of carpet over there, or that God couldn't do it in the balcony, or the coffee shop, or the parish hall, or the vestibule, which is the posh word for the entrance hall, or even on the forecourt outside. God could work anywhere. We just choose to do it here. And so a lot of the things that we do, they're actually, and I realize that for some of us, this might almost be an uncomfortable word, they are just our traditions. I know we like to think of ourselves as a very non-traditional church, but actually, they're just our traditions. They're just the way we choose to do it. It's not that there's anything better about it. It's just the way we've chosen to do it. Now, I'd like to think that there was some good reason for the way we've chosen to do that, and if you were to ask us, we could probably tell you some of the reasons why we choose to do things certain ways. But we just need to be very careful that we don't exalt our way of doing it to something that becomes more significant than it is. It's just the way we do it. A lot of the things that we do, the way we do them, it's just because that's the way we do it. But there are other things that we do, and we do some other things a certain way because of a certain understanding that we have about what is happening during prayer ministry. So if you think of a typical prayer ministry scenario here at St. Bees, where someone comes forward to be prayed for during the prayer ministry time, there are usually three people involved. Firstly, God is involved in that process, and he is by far the most important person involved in what is happening. Now, I know the theologically astute among you will immediately say, ah, but God is God in three persons, so there are five people involved. Yes, I know. Let's not get too pedantic about it. God is the most important person in the process. That's the point I'm making. Secondly, the second person involved is the person who is receiving prayer, the person who is being prayed with. They are the second most important person in what is happening when someone is receiving prayer ministry. God is always the most important person, but second to them, second to God, the person being prayed for is the second most important person. But there's another person involved, and that's the person who is doing the praying, the person praying with them, and they are by far the least important person in the process. And that's our understanding of what is happening. And one of the things that we would always look for in anyone who said, I'd like to get involved in prayer ministry, can I be on the prayer ministry team? Can I get involved in praying with people on a Sunday or at other times? One of the first things that we would look for would be this attitude, this recognition that says, it's actually not about you. This is not an opportunity for you to show others how wonderful you are when you pray with people. It's not about you. It's not about the person praying. Prayer ministry is fundamentally about an encounter between God and the person who is being prayed for. That is ultimately why we do it. If you want the simple answer, why do we do what we do? Why do we do prayer ministry? Because we believe that it is important that people encounter God. That there is a direct encounter between God and an individual. God is dealing directly with that person by his Spirit. And the person praying, they are there simply to do anything that they can to help the person who is being prayed with to encounter God without putting themselves between God and that person. In other words, it must never look like that. It's never that the arrow has to go through the person praying in order to get to the person who is being prayed with. It should never look like that. Let's put it back to the straight arrow. That's what it's meant to look like. As the person praying, it's not about you. And so a lot of what we do and a lot of the way we do things is to reflect that fact that it's not about us. Our role is to do those things which help the person being prayed with to encounter God and to do nothing else. And so as the person praying, we'll listen to God. We'll look and see what God is doing. And a lot of the time, all that we will be doing is just praying God's blessing on what God is doing. Just asking God to bless what he is doing in the life of the person who comes forward to be prayed with at the end of a service in prayer ministry. Often the kind of prayers that will be being prayed. If you've never come forward for prayer ministry, you may think, I wonder what they'll pray over me. Very often the prayers that are prayed are just very simple prayers like, more Lord. Please do more of what you're doing in this person's life. Please increase the sense of your presence in this person's life. Please do more of what you're doing. And if God gives us anything to say, we say it. If God tells us anything to do, we do it. But if God gives us nothing to say, then we say nothing. And if God tells us nothing that we are to do, then we do nothing other than continue to pray God's blessing on what he is doing in the life of the person. And a lot of what we do is done that way. That's why we talk about standing aside and standing back. That's why often we may stand next to a person and apparently not be praying out loud. That's why we may occasionally just pray in a prayer language of tongues, because we're just asking God to bless what he's doing. That's a lot of the reason why we do it the way we do it, because we want it to be an encounter between God and the person, not an encounter between us and the person, but between God and the person being prayed for. I think this would be a good time to get the worship band back up, and we'll begin to move into a time of ministry. Can I ask that those who are both scheduled to be on prayer ministry team and those who are willing to make themselves available to be on prayer ministry, just come and come to the front at this point so that you're available as folks make their way forward in a few moments' time. We will need others. There were at least 8 or 9 folks who indicated that those words applied to them. So if you were not one of those people and you are authorized to minister on our prayer ministry teams here, then please make yourself available. So if you're a service host on the service host team, if you're a Barnabas group leader, a cluster leader, a ministry team leader, an intern, I'll get you one way or another. You've got to be available to pray. So we need lots of folks this evening to pray. So just as Andy and the band begin to lead us in worship, and in a moment we're going to stand and worship together, just want to talk about one other element of prayer ministry. And it's something that perhaps in the churches like ours, we used to do a little bit more of than we do these days. And sometimes we are responding to very specific words from God. Maybe it's through the preaching, or maybe it's through a prophetic word, a word of knowledge. But sometimes it's not like that at all. Sometimes it's just that we choose to put ourselves in God's presence and pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," and then just wait and see what God does. And it would be really good this evening if we just did that, as well as the people who are going to be prayed for in response to specific words, that we just put ourselves into the presence of God and invite God to come by His Spirit, and then we wait. We just see. We put ourselves in that place where we can have an encounter with God. So let's stand together. If you responded a few moments ago to one of the specific words, either because you wanted to become a follower of Jesus this evening, you wanted to, for the first time, make that commitment, or if you responded to one of those other words for healing or some circumstance or situation, let me invite you to start to make your way forward now. Please don't wait any longer. Start coming forward now so that members of our ministry team can start to pray with you. If you have any other situation in your life that you want God to intervene in, come forward and let members of our ministry team pray with you and pray over you. But if you just want to have that encounter with God, then maybe just stay where you are, and as we begin to sing and worship, just reach out your hands to God and invite Him to come and meet with you. So we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." As we worship now, "Come, Holy Spirit." Come, Holy Spirit, and meet the people who are responding to specific words. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet with each one of us, we pray.
I just had this word before I felt from the Lord. It was just a sense of the Lord wanting to move someone or some people from here into a new place. Almost a sense of like where their nesting ground is at the moment is not found in the nesting ground of His presence, so to speak. But they're inside this tree. They're finding their safe haven. They're finding their security in something that's other than the Lord. And I just had the sense of the Lord of saying tonight that there are some people in here that are going to know exactly what that is, an area of your life that is not being grounded and founded on the security of God. And that as you come forward tonight, He's wanting to chop down the tree, and He's wanting to come and bring you to a new nesting ground that's within His presence and found within Jesus. So yeah, just encourage you tonight, if that's for you, if there's an area of your life that you know that you're not secure in, and that you've been looking into other places and finding a different nesting ground other than in Jesus, to come forward and allow Him to come and chop that down and bring a restoration and truth into your life.
Thanks, Steve. I need one or two other folks to pray. There's some folks standing at the front with no one yet praying for them, so we could have at least one other lady to come and pray. But let's just, as we go into the song that Anne is about to lead us into, let's just each one be open for God to come by His Spirit, that we might have that personal encounter with Him. That's why we're here. We want to have an encounter with God.